Now, we have heard many messages throughout the years about being ready. Messages that we have posted on our websites. And even recently, we have been hearing more and more about the theme of being ready, especially during the feast. We've heard a lot about that, when it comes to Germany at least. Now, when you go to our website and type in ready in the search box, you will see a list of messages covering this topic. Messages like, am I really ready? Question mark. Ready or not? Are we ready? Are you ready? Be ready for the gospel of peace. Prepare yourself. Are you prepared? Now, I can go on and on. There's a lot of messages, but those are ones that were showing up on the first page when you put in ready into the search box. Now, is there a reason why we have so many messages with this topic? Yes, some of these messages were given several years ago, and we have repeated the same messages over the years. But notice how fast time goes by. Some of these messages were given years ago, and we said then, like we do now, that Christ is coming very soon, but we don't know exactly when. Now, James 4 and verse 14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." But notice David's statement. As he spoke quite often, prayed quite often to God. And notice what he says in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 4. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 4. "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night." And then verse 10. "The days of our lives are 70 years." Now, he was talking about a broad sense of life. Doesn't have to end with 70, but that's pretty much the norm, I guess. "And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." And then verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Even though time goes by really fast, you think about 10 years what we did, and notice 10 years later, it's like it happened yesterday. But really what David's also saying here is that we should not be wasting our days, but we are to prepare ourselves by gaining knowledge and wisdom of God's way of life. For this fleshly life that we are living now is only temporary, as we get ready for an eternal life of ultimate happiness. Have we experienced an ultimate happiness in our lives yet? Have we experienced a life without pain, without death, without sorrow, without sadness, without worry, without doubt? Put everything negative into that list, and that is what we're not going to experience in the future. We cannot really fully comprehend this yet, because we haven't lived like that yet. We're trying our best. We are trying to live happy. It's true. And if we are living God's way of life, we should be happy. So then why wouldn't you want to be anxious for that day to come? Again, we do not know exactly when Christ will return. But what we do know is that we have a good indication based on what is going on in the world, based on biblical prophecy. How things are falling into place. All you have to do is read a current events section every week, and you'll see how things are falling into place, thereby knowing that we do not have that much time left. And we should also be praying for God's kingdom to come. And we've heard about that message recently. Are we actually praying every time we pray that God's kingdom should come? Are we doing that now? Are we doing that always? Not when we are ready for his return, Let me complete my bucket list. First is the attitude, right? And then we'll be ready for Christ's return. You know, are we excited about his return, or are we still thinking about our lives now, hoping that things will come to pass first before Christ comes back? Are we willing to give up, and I emphasize the word everything, for Christ? Everything for Christ. What does that mean? If you don't know what that means, read the Bible. Read the examples that we talk about, that we read about every time. Are we willing to die for him? That's scary all on its own. And that time is going to come. Are we actually willing to die for Christ? Or are we afraid of death? If we haven't come to that conclusion, maybe we should reevaluate our thinking. Do we truly want God's kingdom to come now? Are we truly prepared for Christ's return now? Can we honestly say to ourselves that we are worthy? Obviously, we know that we are not perfect. And as long as we're human, we're not going to be perfect. For we continuously sin. And we know that no human being is perfect except for Jesus Christ, who came to this earth as a human being. And he was the only one that lived a sinless life, perfect life. That's even hard to comprehend. But again, this was only happening also through the help of God the Father, who worked with Christ through his, God the Father's, Holy Spirit, his power. And without God the Father in Jesus Christ's life, Jesus Christ would not have lived a perfect, sinless life. It worked hand in hand. Notice John chapter 14 and verses 10 and 11. John chapter 14 and in verse 10. Christ says here, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." With God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37. Philippians 4, verse 13 also says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Do we then understand how much we need God in our lives? And without God in our lives, we are living a life of time and chance. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, we read that time and chance happen to them all. This isn't talking about true Christians, but it's referring to the people in this world, people who only live and work for material possessions, who are cut off from God, and who don't understand God's plan, who have not been called to this way of life. But notice what Christ said in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Luke chapter 13, and starting verse 1, "There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" Christ is very clear, saying that if we don't repent, we may very well die, but if we repent, we will not likewise perish or die. In that way is described through this accident we just read about here, for an example. You know, this is a striking warning, And we better make sure that we are close to God and that we are ready at all times. Are we truly doing our best, or do we still struggle with the same things over and over again? Do we think we can't overcome, or that we are too weak to overcome? Place all your struggles, place all your worries, your doubts, your questions, your help into God's hands. Try it if you haven't done it yet. Continue to do so. And continue to do what we need to be doing to live righteously. Continue to stay vigilant. Continue to stay watchful and ready. And let God fight our battles. We can become victorious in Christ. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, Paul was speaking here, yet we can take this to ourselves as well. We can apply this to the church today. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses or manifests, as the margin says, the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, or corrupting the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Now verse 16 I just read, I'll read again. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and the other of the aroma of life leading to life. Matthew Poole's commentary states that the sweet smells, which are to some pleasant, or the sweet smells are to some as pleasant and comfortable, and are to others harmful and deadly. So it is with the sweet aroma of the gospel. So I'm going to take the meaning of the gospel as a threat, perhaps, to their life, and others will not. Hopefully we are not, right? The report which we in all places make of Christ to some through their unbelief and hardness of heart and fondness of their lusts proves but, and continue on, the savor or aroma of death unto death, which is hardening their hearts to the eternal ruin and destruction. But to such who, being ordained to eternal life, believe our reports and embrace the gospel and live up to the precepts and rule of it, our preaching proves a cause of spiritual and of eternal life, to which that leads. And then the question in the end of verse 16, who is sufficient for these things? How great the work is. What man, what angel is sufficient for it? It is a mighty work to preach the gospel as we ought to preach it. Paul made it very clear that those who have ears will listen to the message, will listen to the truth, to the instructions that are laid forth in this book, the Bible. The answers are all in here to help us, to prepare for the near future that is ahead of us. First comes the worldwide devastation, which we know about. And only through God's mercy can we, those of us who have been chosen by God and have answered his calling and thereby have chosen to obey him, only we can be saved and protected. And then ultimately, can we share in the perfection and happiness of his soon coming kingdom, where we can inherit eternal life and be a part of God's family.